way back, but through the blood of Jesus, amen. And I want to call Sister Janie, if you could kindly please make your way over here. Sister Connie, and then if I could have Jason. These are people that were all messed up and now are the top leadership of the church, amen. God just don't want to get you clean, amen. He wants to use your life. He wants to transform your life to be that extension of who He is, amen.
Amen. I'm just grateful to be here this morning. Amen. I'm grateful for my salvation, my pastors, my ministry. Amen. The ministry of Victory Outreach. And when I came into the ministry, I was lost. Amen. I was trying to be a regular teenager, trying to run the streets in these worldly relationships, you know, going to party to party. I also was training. I wanted to go to the Olympics. That was my dreams. But I was so depressed. Amen. I couldn't find a way out. I was sad. And there was nothing that would satisfy me, not a drink, not smoking, not going to the Olympics, not winning nationals, not world championships. Nothing could satisfy me, but it wasn't until the Lord came into my life. He touched my life, amen, and I was able to separate, amen. I was able to go to the Urban Training Center. If you don't know, that's a place where you can separate, where young people go and get trained and equipped to back up their pastors, amen. And I was there, and God separated me. I had to get rid of my phone. I had to, you know, take time, amen. And you guys might say, your phone? Yeah, I was 19 years old without a phone, amen, and God really spoke to me. That's where I was able to get close to God and be equipped, amen, to back up my leaders, and I came back to Victory Outreach, amen, and when I came here to Victory Outreach Milwaukee, I was able to get planted. I was able to back up my pastor, and now I'm trying to learn to catch his heart, catch my pastor's heart, amen, and back up this ministry because there's so many souls. I'm just blessed this morning to see Elias and Cedric in my life group, amen, because that's what I needed when I was a kid. I needed someone to speak into my life. And when I see Elias worshiping, when I see Cedric, I just am blessed, amen, because when I see them, I see another soul saved, amen. So I just want to say God bless you guys, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm blessed to be here this morning. My name is Connie. I'm 36 years old. Amen. I was lost. I was bound. I was broken. But today I thank God for my salvation. Amen. That I've been saved now, sanctified and set free. Amen. For 3 years. For 3 years I've been here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Amen. I came in and I was a hurting girl. I was broken. I was addicted to heroin and crack cocaine for almost my whole life. I started using drugs when I was 11 years old. Amen. I started selling my body for $10. Just so that I could get high, amen. I was hurting, but I knew what I thought I knew what I needed, amen. At the time, in that point in my life, I thought I knew what I needed to be happy. But it wasn't until one day about 3 years ago that I got a flyer for the church, amen. I called Pastor Charlie. It was like 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I called him, and I told him I would call him back. And how many know that when we're in the world, we're not very good at keeping promises, amen? And it was a promise I kept, Pastor Charlie. I called him on a Tuesday morning, amen? And I was high. I was smoking crack and shooting up heroin. And I called him, but him and his wife came and picked me up, amen? And I sat in a van, quiet and hurting, but I was quiet and I listened to Pastor Charlie talk to me for almost a half hour. And I went into the women's home, and there, about 4 days in, is when God placed my calling upon my life, amen? He told me that I would run a women's home here in Milwaukee, amen? And I'm here to tell you that if you just give God a chance, amen, that He can transform your life. I was not only changed and transformed there in the women's home, but God sent me to the Urban Training Center also in California for 6 months, amen. God will blow your mind if you give Him the opportunity, amen. He'll blow your mind more than you can imagine. Also, I want to say that my sister's here with us today, my blood sister, amen. She's here with us today, amen, and it's not because of anything that I did, amen. It's just because I was simply obedient and learned how to pray, amen. I've been praying for my family for 3 years, and God answers prayers, amen. God answers prayers, you know, and I believe that more of our families will fill these roles, amen. The men's home, man, your families will come. Keep praying. Keep asking God, amen. Those dreams, those things will come true, amen. And I'm believing for a women's home here in Milwaukee. The need is great, and we're called to meet a need, amen, as Victory Outreach. We're called to meet a need here and across the world, amen. And I pray for each and every one of you daily, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. My name is Brother Jason. Like Pastor Charlie said, I was lost and bound. Amen. But God stepped into my life many years ago. He set me free. I'm a product of our men's home here in Milwaukee. Amen. Men's home, where you at? Come on, somebody. Amen. God has really transformed my life. I was bound by drugs addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual sin, many things. I was suicidal at one point in time. But once God stepped into my life, he gave me hope, and he changed my life. And like Pastor Charlie said, now I'm a leader in the church. Amen. I'm helping out in our men's home, and God is using my life in a tremendous way. Amen. And those that's logged on this morning, I want to let you know that God is able to change and transform your life. I'm a product of that truth. If God can step into my life and change my life and set me free, my friend, he could do the same for you as well. God bless you this morning.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let's continue to worship. Amen.
It's just so much greater to, I mean, it's good to be aware of the presence of the Lord in the good times, but we can sometimes take that for granted. But it's just a greater mind blower to be able to know that the presence of the Lord is with us in the hard times. We not just serve the God of the mountaintop, but the God of the valley. And the battle is always fought in the valley. Amen. Once again, we want to thank all that are here this day. Those that are watching through Facebook, amen, that you be ministered to here this day. As we get into the word of the Lord here this morning, we've gone into a new series now in a time to recognize Jesus. If there's ever a time to recognize Jesus, not just for an hour on Sunday. Some get that at best. They get an hour in a whole week when the enemy's getting access day in and day out. That's why he's got a lot of followers. But it's an honor to be here this day and to speak on recognizing Jesus, especially in the times that we're living in right now. And the title of this morning's message is A Time to Recognize Jesus Through Open Eyes of Prayer. Through Open Eyes of Prayer. I'm going to be reading a real familiar story within the Bible, within the Old Testament of 2 Kings that many are probably familiar with. But I know also that there's some that will be hearing this story for the very first time in their life. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to open up with this verse. If you don't have your Bible, every verse, scripture will be given on the screens. Amen. This is Elijah the prophet speaking. And the word of the Lord says, "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him. He had a young servant with him, amen? "For there are more on our side than on theirs." As we read now from verse 8 through verse 23, we're going to cover some ground. But I'm here to teach and to preach for you to learn, not just to get your ear tickled and leave in the same way you walked in. Amen. But my prayer is that you would leave differently here this day with thoughts of the Lord and what he has for your life, no matter where your life may be at within this time. Let's read. The Bible reads, "When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say," I'm reading out of the NLT translation, amen, "we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." This is the enemy. But then here's the man of God in verse 9. The Bible reads, "But immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, 'Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there.' So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. Where are we at? Red verse now. "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elijah the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel, 'Even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom, go and find out where he is,' the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elijah is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God, this was the young servant of Elijah, amen, got up early the next morning and went outside, there was troops, horses, chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elijah. "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed. Key. Then Elijah prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elijah prayed once again, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Then Elijah went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way." So here at this point, the whole army there is before him, but they're all blind now. And Elijah tells them they've gone there, and he leads them because they're all blind, amen. Then Elijah went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Samaria was the northern capital there, amen, of Israel. It was like taking a gang and blindfold them and then opening up their eyes to being in a rivalry's house, amen. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elijah, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elijah replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, tell your neighbor, after that. After that, their men raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Here in verse 8, we find that we need to know that this morning that there is a physical and spiritual battle taking place right now against the church. And when I say the church, it's a physical, spiritual battle taking place against us because we're the many parts that make up the body of Christ. There's a physical and spiritual battle waging right now against the church. And we need to know also that the enemy has forces. Forces, amen. That he moves and that he mobilizes from place to place, from city to city. We need to be aware here this morning also that the enemy just don't have forces. He's not only able to mobilize, amen, but he has a strategy. The enemy has a strategy against you and I, the body of Christ, and he moves from place to place. At the end of the verse, it says, we will mobilize our forces at such and such place. Amen? In verse 10, the Bible reads, so the king of Israel would send out the word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. Time and again is what the NLT translation says. The King James Version says, not once or twice. In other words, it was taking place over and over and over. The enemy, the king, and his strategizing and the mobilizing of his great vast army, time and time again. Elijah the prophet would warn Israel, the king of Israel, on the plans of the enemy. But we know here this day that the true source was God using the man of God. Amen? In verse 9, the Bible reads, but immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, because the enemy is about to hit there. Amen? It calls Elijah the man of God in the NLT translation. But immediately Elijah, the man of God, just didn't refer to him by his name, but more importantly, that he was the man of God. He would be given by God the strategy of the enemy. And I placed within my notes, what gave Elijah such insight? And the answer is in that verse. He was a man of God. He was the man of God. He was a man of God. And I believe in the end time church that we're living in right now, that there needs to be men of God in the rising up. There needs to be women of God being risen up, amen, to be able to hear to God, to be able to not only be on the defense, but to be on the offense in what God is doing and how God is mobilizing and the strategy of God that and how he wants to go about in mobilizing the church against the works of the enemy. He's looking for a man of God here this day. He's looking for a woman of God that can make a difference. It didn't say the men of God. It was the man of God. Just one person was all God needed on that day. He needed just one man of God to get the job done. He was the man of God. I put here in my notes, too many still trying to be the man, the woman in the church, still trying to be recognized as if you got this epidemic figured out. If I don't got it figured out, my friend, you don't have it figured out. So I rose early this morning to spend time with the same God of Elijah, the same God of the Old Testament. For he's the same God, the Bible tells us, of yesterday and today and forevermore. Too many still trying to be the man, the woman, with the title in the church, with a worldly strategy, as if it's going to work, because the plan came from you. It's called pride. It just don't work. Amen? It just doesn't work. If it did, every church in all of Wisconsin would be on fire right now, coming together right now. It's not a shortage of churches, it's a shortage of workers. True laborers of the Lord that have a personal relationship with the Lord to be able to be led and guided by the Lord, no matter if the times are good or rough. Too many still trying to be recognized instead of being recognition unto God, who is the true source. How long does it take a Christian to figure out that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing? You don't have to be an addiction to think you got it going on. I know so many sober Christians that don't know who God is. I ask a simple question, who's God to you? And so they're answer in who God is. We're called to be ambassadors of God, speaking the very words of God. My words may not be that polished, but they're from God. Amen? I know the crowd before me. I'm acting a little polished this morning because we have guests in the house. Amen? I think by this time I already ripped my jacket off and rolled my sleeves up. But I'm containing myself here this day. In verse 11, the king, the enemy, was saying, who's giving up my plans? He thought it was one of his guys. He said, who's the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? Time and again, not once, not twice, King James Version says. It wasn't Elijah getting lucky every other time he prayed to God. But every time, God answered. And God would give him a word to give to the king of Israel. And I believe the Lord is wanting to speak here this day. Maybe a little tough, but like I say, we're living in tough times. I'm not here to preach a real polished, nice message when people are dying, going to hell, locked up in prison with no way out. It's a time for the church to rise up and to be counted of the Lord. And he could count upon your life and my life in doing what he requests of the end time church. In verse 12, one of his officers told him, it is not us, my lord, the king. One of the officers replied, Elijah the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Don't get nervous, anybody. Amen? My notes say, from the bedroom to the battlefield, God had it covered. God's got it covered. The king's bedroom was bugged by God. Nowadays, they got cameras you can put for $10 and watch your whole house on your phone. But Jesus was bugging the room, the house, the room, the bedroom of the king, the enemy, amen? He had his bedroom bugged. He knew everything he was speaking there within the bedroom. See, God's in control. Ironically, it's taken 2,500 years for man to invent a bug that you can put in somebody's house. When God was bugging houses 2,500 years ago. He knows everything that's taking place. God is one that you would want on your side. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, he knows everything. The Bible tells us nothing in all creation is hidden from God. It goes beyond the bedroom, amen? Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. That's why it's real important that we need to learn how to be accountable when we're all alone. The boss at work might need a witness of you working not as hard as you should be, but God don't need a witness. And each and every one of us are accountable to a God that sees everything, not just you here this morning sitting in church looking good. In your living room there, through Facebook, through your big screen TV, watching here this day, thinking because you ain't in church that God is only seeing what's taking place here. But I want to let you know, no matter where you're at, everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Too many still think that they're not accountable. They're only accountable when people are watching, when you can be seen. But true character in a man's life or in a woman's life is what we do or don't do when we're all alone. See, when I pray in secret unto the Lord, the only one up in the house. We got two puppies now, so the puppies were up also, amen? I had to take them outside. Got two beautiful standard poodles, chocolates. I was on poop patrol this morning, amen? They haven't gone in the cage once yet. We've had them 4 or 5 days. That's pretty good. Because I got my daughter on poop patrol, I got my son on poop patrol, I got my wife on poop patrol, and I'm on poop patrol. And prayfully right now, as they're in their kennel being potty trained, they know that God is looking at them. That they get a little nervous. Like if we were all just standing there around the cage looking at them. But if worse comes to worse, I think my daughter's got the next poop patrol term, amen? So I win either way, amen? Back to 2 Kings in verse 15. We need to know here this day that God's got it covered, even though what we see looks like he don't. Amen? The Bible says when the servant of the man of God, there he calls them the man of God again, got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. The young man cried to Elijah, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" Verse 17 tells us that he was a young servant. I would have to say that he was immature in the making, in the process of becoming a man of God, such as Elijah was. Oh, sir, what will we do now? A place within my nose that's the state of the world we live in. What are we going to do now? That's the state of the White House. What are we going to do now? Even though Trump makes it look like he got it in control. And sad to say, that is the state of the church. What are we going to do now? When it doesn't fall on the White House or on Trump, but the condition of this world falls on the church, it falls on you and I. We're accountable unto God. We're accountable unto the lost and the bound to having the right answers at the right time. Question: have you ever woke up to a no way out situation? Have you ever woken up to everything was going good, and then all of a sudden you're slapped with some bad news, whether it pertains to your life or a loved member that you know, and then all of a sudden what was going so good, bad news strikes. I found myself in so many no way out situations. Addiction was just one of them. I found my way out of ODing 15 times, slamming dope. No way situations that I should have been dead a long time ago at the age of 20, but I'm 59 now here today. I'm still in the church. The man of God that God has called. If I was God, I would not have even looked my way. But he's the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Have you ever been in a no way out situation, but still you find yourself here at church this morning? Still you find yourself on Facebook watching on. I want you just for a moment to think of several times the Lord took you out of a bind that you were not supposed to get out of. There's many of them. And those are the ones we're aware of. So much the ones we're not even aware of, where he stepped in on the freeway when we should have got hit. When we should have got hit. When this should have happened. And he was intervening on our behalf when we didn't even see him moving. We didn't even see him at work. But one way or another, we find ourselves in church here this Sunday morning, even with the virus and all that taking place, because we know the God we serve. In verse 16, the young servant wakes up to bad news, surrounded with chariots and horses. All around where the young servant and Elijah were staying, bad news came in verse 15. But then the good news came through the man of God in verse 16, under the same circumstances, seeing the same thing that the young servant was seeing. Elijah comes with good news. And Elijah tells him, don't trip, man. What you tripping on? Don't be afraid. Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. And even though I believe the young servant was young, still immature, I believe he was able to count at least up to 10. Amen? And I believe he was able to say there's one, two of us, and thousands of them. Why are you going to tell me don't be afraid? And how can you even say, you big liar, Elijah, man of God, that there's more of us than there is of them? They were both seeing the very identical thing, the enemy. And Elijah would come with the news that he was seeing through a different perspective through his eyeballs. And it's sometimes easy to give somebody a warning or, hey, it's going to be okay, until we're in those shoes. But Elijah didn't just come with good news. He came with a proof, because he knew he had God on his side to back up the good news. And we find that he tells them, don't be afraid, there's more on our side than there is on theirs. In verse 17, we find for him to be able to bring the proof of the good news he gave his young servant, he had to pray. You see, there's some things that can only come to pass through prayer. Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Did the Lord answer? He sure did. I believe the young man's eyes were already open. But something took place on that day within this young servant's life. The Bible records that the Lord opened, not Elijah, but it was his prayer. But it was the Lord. He was the source of it all. It was the Lord that opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. The enemy had horses and chariots, but they weren't of fire. And then all of a sudden, this young servant was able to see what Elijah prayed. He was able to see what Elijah prayed coming to pass. He prayed that his eyes would be opened. See, hearing from the Lord and leading people's lives is not something that the Lord wants just for the pastor or the leadership within the church. Because I started off in the rehab as a director, the back row of the church. I started off with somebody coming in, the very next day coming out of prison, spending years in prison with a pack of smokes. I walked in with my sugar mama and stood in the back row saying, "What am I doing here?" I wasn't tripping that I came to church with my sugar mama. She took care of me while I was in prison. That was 23 years ago, people. Amen? Because that was my lifestyle. I wasn't tripping that I came in with my sugar mama, but I was tripping out that I was in church. Sugar mamas were common. Me going to church wasn't. But all of a sudden, the man of God would start preaching the gospel, would start praying, and something would start taking place within my life that said that the Lord had a call for my life, that he wanted to use my life, that I didn't have to remain a drug addict, that I didn't have to go back to prison for the third time, because he not only had a plan, but he had a word that was able to back up his plan and transforming my life to becoming a young servant to the man of God. It was a hard process, a long process, and I'm still in the process 23 years later, and I'm still needing God 23 years later. This word wasn't just for me or the leadership, because Elijah saw it important enough to pray to God to open the eyes of this young servant to see what the man of God saw, what the man of God was able to see all along. So tells me that God is wanting to open the eyes of the youth And he's okay if you're immature. He's okay if you're not understanding quite yet what God has for your life. And with a prayer unto the Lord of asking and requesting that the eyes of this young servant would be opened, that were opened. And no longer were the eyes of this servant open now to fear, but they were open now to an awe. And all of a sudden he said, there is the count is still. You and I, Elijah, I can still count to two. But the odds, you see, prayer has a way of changing the odds. Prayer has a way of opening one's eyes to see how great God is and that he's got everything in these end times that we're living in under control. But he's looking for a man of God that can see what he wants him to see. He's looking for a woman of God that can see what he wants him to see, and that's recognized. God in the storm, God in the end times that we're living in. This young servant, by the prayer of Elisha, was instantly, his eyes were open, but now they were really open to the spiritual truth of who was in control. What truth are you listening to here this day? Is it one that your naked eye is speaking to you? Is it a natural truth that you're going off of? Because my friend, that's a half lie, and a half lie is still a lie. It sounds good. But the enemy also comes as an angel of light to deceive even people. He's already got the ones in the corner in the church. Our walk is one of faith, not of sight. And this young servant was looking with his eyeballs. He said, I don't know what Elijah did last night, but man, he's on one, man. He's saying there's more of us than there is of them. Prayer has a way of changing the odds. Not only changing the odds, but changing the odds to your and I's favor. Because all it took was two people against a vast army, and one being the man of God. Too many Christians I put here still trying to figure out what's going on in the natural ability using Scripture. The enemy used Scripture on Jesus there in the desert in his time of testing and temptation. And he didn't put a twist on it like he did in the garden. He gave him word for word what the Bible says. The enemy knows the word also. It amazes me when I see Christians quoting Scripture and not walking one of them. And no power. That's just memorization taking place. When I was a little kid, I said the alphabet, the ABCs, like a million times before I got it right. Amen? I memorized them. Say them backwards, you say them backwards. I ain't even going to try that one. Too many Christians still trying to figure out what's going on through the natural ability, even while using Scripture. The enemy would have never attacked, I put here this day. See, this is the plus we have to our side, amen, in this battle we're in right now. I put here, the enemy would have never attacked that day if they were able to see that they were the ones that were surrounded by the army of God. They came deep. They came in the thousands. They were deep. They were running deep. And all they counted was 1-2. But part of that 1-2 punch was a man of God. But little did they know that they were the ones that were surrounded by a living God, an almighty God that defeated them on that day. By the natural eye, of two people. All they could see was two men, but one was the man of God. And then the young servant all of a sudden got a revelation that day. And I believe from, what do we do? All of a sudden, what, you guys want some? We can do this right now. We can do it however you want. Sorry, guests, but that's, I know my audience. Half of them are gang members, amen, so. Sister Karen here runs the prison. She's a chaplain in the prison systems there in Green Bay. There's a need out there. People are dying. It's just not inner city people no more. Everybody's dying. Everybody's being deceived. Suburb people are being deceived. Because the natural ability ain't going to cut it. Education's good, but it's not the full answer. Even finances are not the full answer. God is the source, and He is the answer, and He is here today. As I speak, He's moving right now. As I speak, He's moving right now. He's challenging men, He's challenging women, and saying, where am I in the army of God? How am I being used in the army of God? I've been equipped for many years now. What am I doing with the equipping that the Lord has given me, with the spirit that the Lord has given me, with the full armor of God that He has given me? How am I using what God has given me to fight the good fight? I put here, prayer will always reveal the true odds. I put also, prayer also opens the eyes to recognize God, not man. That day, that young servant, he might have looked up at Elijah like he was crazy, but he saw God that day. It was just simply the prayer through Elijah that allowed him to recognize God that day. He had an experience that day. He went from fear to faith, a great faith that day. And a splitting of the opening of eyes to what truly was taking place upon that day. And that's what's taking place in the day and age that we live in right now. We're in victory right now. It's not what we see with the natural ability of the eyeballs God has given us, but we have the victory this day, whether it looks like it or not. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk based on what God says and who He is. We're simply servants. Prayer also opens eyes to recognize God, not man. Too many people in the church is recognizing the man as the answer, as the go-to person. No, he's just a servant, an instrument. Apostle Paul, as great as he was, he says, I'm just a mere servant. Last point, prayer places your dependency that God is your source, not man. Amen? There's more of the story, but I'm going to bring it in for a landing right there. Elijah prays again. He leads them by the nose all the way into the city of Samaria. And then he prays for their eyes to be open. Ah! And then he feeds them. Throws a little feast. And they leave tripping, walking kind of fast, thousands. And the Bible records that they never came and attacked Israel no more. It blew their minds the way God did it, by using Elijah, the man of God. How is God using you here this day? How is God using you? All that you know about the Lord, through all your faith, how is He using you? You got to ask yourself that. Do you know your gifts, your power spots? Do you know your weaknesses? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Because if Elijah wouldn't have, that day, there was just two of them there. But because he was the man of God, And God had come through for him time and time again, the Bible says. I believe in his personal walk. And then all of a sudden, God would start using him to warn the king of Israel and where the enemy was going to attack. Wow. See, first, we need the help. He proves himself to us to work through us. But too many right now are clean and sober. You're no longer in drugs. And you want to just sit and hear the message instead of being about the message and saying, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. I know I ain't much when it comes to the way you do things, but I'll be faithful to whatever you want. I'm here to testify. Three others testified. Amen. Jason, we're family here, guys. I say black, white, brown. I don't trip on that stuff because there's black, white, and brown in our church. Amen. And we call Jason Black Jason because we have a white Jason in the church. Amen. Black Jason that testified up here and opened up, and as we stand here this day, was a nutcase when he came to the rehab. Had no brains. I mean, they were gone. He's my spiritual son. I know him that good where I can speak like that because we're family. But I'm doing that not to put him down, but to lift up the name of Jesus. With the psych meds that are taking place right now, everybody's on a psych med. Everybody needs a psych med. It's no longer crack or heroin. They're on psych meds now. From the hospital, from the educated doctors of 8 years of practice, are giving psych meds. Oh, you don't have to go to the corner no more. That heroin's not good for you here. Take a few of these. Is the answer for the pressure of today. Zonk them out of their minds for they can't trip out no more. They're just zombied out. It's the answer of the world right now. When the true answer is you and I, we are the witnesses of Christ. We are eyewitnesses of what Christ is able to do in one's life. We are eyewitnesses here this day of what the Lord is able to do in one's life, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. We are eyewitnesses that Christ is able to save anybody and everybody, whether you're called Black Jason or White Jason. It don't matter to the Lord. Jamie there, she was pro boxer and everything, went to the one fight away from the Olympics. Some white girl beat her at the ruin. One step from the Olympics. She's a good fighter. I believe she can still throw some blows. Amen? She gave that pretty little smile, but she said, I'll knock your head off. But I believe God humbled her right there and said, that's not the fight I want you to fight. I want you to fight the good fight. She weighs about 70 pounds soaking wet, amen. He goes, I don't want you to fight featherweight. I want you to be a heavyweight in my army. I want you to be a heavyweight champion sister in the church in the end times that we're living in. And then Connie, oh my God, Connie was a hot mess. $10, man. See, no pastors would speak what I'm speaking right now because they want to act proper, dodge around what's really happening, don't want to give the answer. They just kind of beat around the bush, use some scriptures. Ain't nobody being transformed, nobody being ministered, nobody saying, hey, I can change. If he did it for Janie, if he did it for Black Jason, if he did it for Connie, well, maybe he can do it for me. But if everybody that comes behind the pulpit is so high and almighty, everybody look at us and say, I'll never be that. I can't do that. But if we testify the truth of where God started the work within our lives and where he has us today, it brings a faith and a hope to anybody and everybody. Man, I can make it. I don't have to remain a drug addict. I don't have to remain in prison. I can be the great man of God in the making, the great woman of God in the making. It really don't matter where I've been. It's where I'm at right now and who's speaking to me right now. Prayer changes the odds. It brings a hope and a faith to a man or a woman that's been defeated their whole life. Our victory comes from Christ and Christ alone as we stand this beautiful day. We have the answer for the prison system. We have the answer for the nut houses. We have answers for anybody and every, not because we're all that, but because God is all that. God is all. He can do all things, the Bible says. He can open the eyes and he can blind the eyes. There's nothing that can stop God here this day from doing what he wants to do, even if you're a young servant in the making. I believe here this day, he wants to open your eyes to what's really going on. This old worldly song says, what's going on? What's going on? Ooh. Everybody's saying, what's going on? Then you see these big time pastors acting like they know what's going on. What's going on? What's going on, God? The Lord's ready to come back for the church. The horses and chariots are on fire right now, encamped around this world. And he's looking for men of God that can stand their ground, knowing who their God is. He's looking for women of God to put some work in. Not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. It's the doing part that brings the power. It's the doing part that brings the miracles. We've got to put our hands to the plow. It's a good time to put your hands to the plow. It's a good time to be used of God. It's a good time to see your children's eyes open. My beautiful 10-year-old little boy, he's not up here because he's the pastor's kid. He can sing. The little kid's anointed. Did I teach him to sing? I wish I could brag and say I did, but I didn't. Did I anoint him? No. Did I give him the gift of singing? No. Do I know who did? Yes. He sees me pray to him every day. When I tell the house, be quiet, I'm studying. Grandpa, go to the other room. I'm praying. I'm with God. Do you want to see today? Or do you want to continue to see through the eyes of fear? Always being in the church and where it's just not enough. So close, but yet so far away from having the victory. That young servant was 1 second from a prayer taking place to have the victory that day. And I believe there's some viewing through Facebook right now. You're just a few moments away from getting your breakthrough right now. I feel it in my spirit. There's people here in the church right now. They're being spoken to right now because I know it's not I speaking. I was a dope dealer. It's God speaking through the man of God. He wants to open your eyes.